Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 20 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's program, we're going to talk about raw material, ingredient lists, and what you can learn from them. We'll be covering exactly how you can create a close approximation of any formula just using the ingredient list. Finding competitive products and creating your own versions of these products is a common practice among cosmetic chemists. If you want to be a well-rounded formulator, you'll have to learn how to do this. Creating a knockoff of an existing formula is a great way to learn formulating because you know exactly what the product should look like and how it should perform. You can go from a list of ingredients to a formulation in 6 steps, and here they are. Step 1. Find a list of ingredients. Most cosmetic markets around the world require companies to list their ingredients on their products. This is done to help consumers know what they're putting on their bodies and can help them avoid ingredients for which they might have a negative reaction to. This is great for consumers, but it is also great for cosmetic formulators because it gives you important clues as to how to create the product. So the first thing you have to do is to find the list of ingredients of a product that you want to duplicate. In the age of the internet, this is much easier than it used to be. In the old days, we had to go to the store and hope to find samples of a product, but now you can just go to the internet and do a search. My 2 favorite places to find list of ingredients, or LOIs, is drugstore.com and Ulta.com. There are other sources, but you can find most products on either of these 2 websites. For this show, I'm going to describe how to duplicate a shampoo formula. First, we begin with this list of ingredients that I got from drugstore.com. The ingredients are water, ammonium lauryl sulfate, ammonium chloride, cocamide MEA, fragrance, PEG-5 cocamide, hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose, tetrasodium EDTA, DMDM hydantoin, citric acid, tocopherol acetate, sorbitol, algae, seaweed extract, blue 1, lake, and green 3. I'll have those listed in the show notes. Once you have that, you can move on to the next step. Step 2 is to figure out the important ingredients. After you find your LOI, you need to analyze it to figure out which ingredients are crucial to the function of the formula and which ones are less important. To do this, it is extremely helpful to know the rules related to labeling cosmetic ingredients. The most important rule for our purposes is that ingredients must be listed in order of concentration for any ingredient greater than 1%. This means the ingredients in the formula above 1% are the most important, while the ones lower than 1% are less important. For every ingredient list, there is the 1% line, and to duplicate a formula, you need to find the 1% line in any listing. To be able to do this, it takes a certain knowledge of the raw materials, the product form, and the relative percentages. Now, you'll learn how to do this over the course of your career, of course, and it is something that we go into more in-depth in our practical cosmetic formulating course, which you can get more information about at chemistcorner.com/members. For the listing in our example, we need to find the 1% line. Since I know that shampoos are mostly water, say 85 to 90% water, it's not surprising that water is the first ingredient. I also know that ammonium lauryl sulfate is the primary detergent, so it certainly is in the formula above 1%. Scanning through the list, I see tetrasodium EDTA. Now, this is a chelating agent used in formulas, and I know it's never used at a level of 1%, so the 1% line must be prior to the tetrasodium EDTA. This means we can pretty much ignore everything from EDTA and below, which gives us a list of the most important ingredients to make this formula work. These include water, ammonium lauryl sulfate, ammonium chloride, cocamide MEA, fragrance, PEG-5 cocamide, and hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose. We may be able to pare this formula down even further because it's unlikely that the fragrance is in the formula at a percent higher than 1%, but let's just for a moment assume that it is. That brings us to step 3. Guess the ingredient levels based on the label position. Now that we know which ingredients are crucial, we have to make a guess. If we start with the assumption that the last ingredient in the formula is at 1%, then the rest of the ingredients must be in levels that are higher than that. Since I know the basic structure of a shampoo, I can make a guess as to what the formula might look like. Here is one such guess. So water could be an 81.3%, ammonium lauryl sulfate at 12%, ammonium chloride at 1.9%, cocamide MEA at 1.5%, fragrance at 1.2%, PEG-5 cocamide at 1.1%, and then hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose at 1%. Actually, for a water-based product, you can get a more accurate guess for the level of water. This can be done simply by weighing a sample of the product, then putting it in an oven to dry it out. Then weigh it again, and you keep weighing it until the sample mass doesn't change any longer. Now, this could take a few hours in the oven, depending on how long and how high of a temperature you store it at. The difference between the stable mass and the initial mass is equal to the amount of moisture in the formula. Also, remember that the formula determined in this way is the percent active formula. Some of the raw materials you buy will not be 100% active, so you have to adjust your formula accordingly. For example, when you buy ALS, it's usually about a 30% active solution. This means you get 12% active SLS in your formula when you use 40% of that ingredient in your formula, if that makes sense. I'll leave you to figure out the math for that. All right, step 4, add your important secondary ingredients. Now, this formula guess would be the good basis for a first prototype, but there were ingredients we left off because they didn't reach the 1% level. And while these ingredients aren't important in terms of the function of the product, they are often crucial in terms of making the product work, feel safe, and be aesthetically pleasing. In this formula, there are a number of adjustment ingredients that I would include back. These would include tetrasodium EDTA, which is a chelating agent that helps the preservative system. Then there's DMDM hydantoin, which is the preservative, and citric acid, which is in there to help adjust the pH. You could also include the colors if you want to match the product color. The other ingredients in the formula include claims ingredients, which are not necessary for making a functional product. Things like vitamin E and LD extract are just added for the story and really aren't expected to do anything, so in this type of formulating, you can ignore those. Some approximate percentages for these additional ingredients, based on an educated guess, tetrasodium EDTA, you could use at 0.5%, DMDM hydantoin, about 0.2%, citric acid, about 0.5%, and the color as desired, but could be less than 0.1%. So if we put this whole formula together, it looks a bit like this. You have to accommodate the secondary ingredients, so you have to adjust the water levels. Now, our first prototype of the formula would be something like water at 80%, ammonium lauryl sulfate at 12%, ammonium chloride at 1.9%, cocamide MEA at 1.5%, fragrance at 1.2%, PEG-5 cocamide 1.1%, hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose at 1%, then tetrasodium EDTA at 0.5%, DMDM hydantoin at 0.2%, citric acid at 0.5%, and then color. I'll, of course, have all of this listed in the show notes, so be sure to go check that out for the complete listing. So step 5 would be to make your prototype. Now that you have all the ingredients figured out, it's time to make the prototype. To do this, you have to figure out the order in which the ingredients are added. Here again is where it is helpful to know something about the raw materials and how to formulate with them. In this formula, as in most formulas, when water is the most abundant ingredient, it is added to your container first. Since hydroxypropyl methyl cellulose is a thickening polymer that requires a fair amount of time to go into solution, this would be the second thing that is added. Other powder ingredients like citric acid and tetrasodium EDTA can also be added up front early in the process. In general, you'll want to add your powders sooner in the process than later. That gives them time to hydrate and to go into solution. This formula contains cocamide MEA, which is a solid at room temperature, so the formula will have to be heated up past the melting point of that ingredient to get it to go into solution. So after we have added the powders, we begin heating up the formula while mixing it. As it heats up, we can add the ammonium lauryl sulfate. When the formula gets to the melting point of cocamide MEA, which is about 60 degrees C, we can add this and let it mix for 10 minutes or so until it gets dispersed. It's good to heat the formula up a few degrees higher than the melting point so going to 70 C makes sense. Next, we cool the batch down to below 45 C, and then we can add the remaining ingredients. And the reason we do this is because ingredients like the fragrance can actually break down or not smell the same. So the fragrance gets blended with the PEG-5 cocamide, which acts as a solubilizer. This blend is then added to the formula. Finally, DMDM hydantoate is added, and the batch is cooled. Like I said, these ingredients are added when the batch is cooler because they are heat sensitive and they can break down when put in conditions that are too hot for too long. If you want to match the color, you can add the color at the end. Finally, you add salt. Salt is added at the end because it can have a thickening effect on the formula. If you add it too soon, you'll get bubbles in the formula and it will be harder to mix, and so that is not really ideal. So in a shampoo formula, add your salt last. Step 6, test and refine. Once you've finished your prototype, you can compare it to the product you are copying. Compare things like pH, viscosity, and appearance. You should also test functional things like how well it foams for a shampoo formula. Anyway, you probably have to refine the formula, increasing the level of ingredients or decreasing them as needed, but this will get you pretty close to start. The thing I want you to notice about this system is it is something that anyone with a little bit of knowledge about the ingredients and basic formulation structure can do. In our practical cosmetic formulating course, you can learn more details, including what you need to know about the raw materials, formulation types, and structures, and how to put all that together. You can just get more information about that at chemistcorner.com/members. All right, let me just summarize the 6 steps of going from an LOI to a starting formula. Step 1, get the list of ingredients. Step 2, figure out the important ingredients. Step 3, guess at a starting formula for the important ingredients. Step 4, add important secondary ingredients. Step 5, make your prototypes. And step 6, test the prototypes, revise the formula, and repeat until you have a match. Now, it's your turn.
Today's challenge.
For today's challenge, I want you to repeat this exercise with any product you want to duplicate. Follow the 6 steps and see if you are able to create a reasonable duplicate. Find your LOI, guess at what the important ingredients are, guess their levels, make the prototype, and test it to see how it compares. If you want some help with this, leave comments on the show notes page and I can give you advice as to how you might refine your product. Please be sure to leave the LOI and your guesses for a starting formulation. This will be a fun and useful exercise, especially if you choose a product which you like using. Don't worry if you don't have a matching fragrance, as this will be the most difficult part of the formula to duplicate. Also, the easiest formulas to copy are solutions like body washes or shampoos. But if you want to try an emulsion formula, feel free to list that too. You'll just have to modify your procedure to make the emulsion. Okay, good luck with that, and have fun and happy formulating. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow's program, we will cover the technique you use to calculate the cost of cosmetic formulas. This is vitally important for every cosmetic formulator to know. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast playing service you use. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help others find the show. If you found these podcasts helpful, please share them with anyone else you know who might be interested. Also, I always like to see feedback, so if you have a comment or found something useful about the program, please go to the comments section of the show notes and leave a comment. Remember, you can also follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage you to sign up for and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. Just go to chemistcorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.